Welcome to Equity Gurus A Closer Look, where your host Guy Bennett talks to the leaders of some of the best and brightest companies operating in the small cap space today.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Today I'm talking with Penny White, CEO of Yield Growth, which trades on the CSE under the symbol BOSS. Yield Growth has developed a portfolio of cannabis-based wellness formulas. It's also entered the mushroom business and earns revenue through multiple streams, including licensing, services, and product sales. Penny White, welcome to Equity Gurus A Closer Look.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, guys.
Penny, for any of our investors who are new to your story, can you start out by giving me a bird's eye view of Yield Growth?
Absolutely. So we are a wellness company that develops plant-based ingredients and products.
Yeah.
Our key plant that we're working with right now are cannabis and magic mushrooms and edible mushrooms. So we have several brands that we've developed, including Urban Juve, which has been live for about a year. We have Right In Well, which is full THC topicals.
Yep.
And we have the Flourish Mushroom Lab line of medicinal mushroom products, which are launching this year. And we also have Jack and Jane, which is a cannabis line that we have a relationship with an LP that we plan to launch later this year, some cannabis 2.0 products also. So we're launching products, but we also develop all of the formulations ourselves. So all of our formulations are proprietary, and even some of the ingredients are proprietary, especially our key ingredient, our hemp root oil. So we have a proprietary extraction method. We manufacture the hemp root oil ourselves, sourced from either the cannabis, or either the hemp plant or the marijuana plant. And it's very rich in various terpenes. I'll probably get more into that later. We have about 13 patents applications surrounding yeah. our ingredients and our formulas. So at the hub of everything, we have these amazing plant-based all-natural formulas, many of which that have been tested, some which have 2 years stability testing done. And then we also have a very aggressive marketing division, which is developing solid brands, putting together beautiful packaging, launching out new brands through strong marketing initiatives.
Let's start with a sticky question. You know, after the cannabis investment euphoria of 2018, last year, 2019 was a tough year, and big players like Aurora down 80%. It seems to be a bit of a throw the baby out with the bathwater now. Some investors are just soured on the whole sector, say that companies have overpaid for assets, they're drowning in debt, they have a business model that's unsustainable, cannot penetrate the markets. How is Yield Growth different?
In a way, we're new to the party. Like, we've been public for about 13 months.
Yeah.
And we're really just a 2-year-old company. We were lucky to acquire a very well-developed catalog of products a couple of years ago from, a group of Ayurvedic practitioners. And that, you know, that medicine is thousands of years old. And the formulas are such high quality, but really we're new as a company. We came into this market, looked at it, and tried to figure out where we could carve out a niche. And we knew that wasn't going to be in, you know, competing, you know, head to head with the big LPs of the world. So we decided right from the beginning, we weren't going to go that route. We weren't going to try and get an LP license. We weren't going to build a huge facility. Instead, we saw an opportunity to develop what we saw they didn't have, which was really quality products in terms of the 2.0 and beyond, both in terms of the branding and the formulations.
Yeah.
And that's where we focused all our research, all our resources. And so we didn't have to get into situations where we bought big, expensive assets. We didn't buy big facilities. We don't have really expensive facilities to run. We always work with third-party facilities, third-party LPs. And so our business is, at the core, is all of our IP in our formulations and all the IP in our brands, and then the relationships and the distribution network and the supply chain that we build to launch out our products. So
okay.
We don't have debt the yeah. way that an LP does. We don't, you know, we've never done convertible debentures. You know, if you look at our financial statements, you'll see revenue and you'll see expenses, of course. I mean, we still spend a lot of money, but we don't have to. You know, we're not obligated to keep spending that money every month. So, you know, if there's big changes in the market, we can easily scale down, which we haven't had to do. You know,
yeah.
we've been continuing
yeah.
to grow. But, you know, we're not in the situation of some of these LPs where they just, you know, they were so optimistic. They saw this huge opportunity. They took all the money that was coming to them, whatever the terms, thinking or their stock would always be higher. And now they find themselves, you know, with too much overhead, too much debt, and, you know, the business side not being quite as optimistic as they had hoped. So we're totally different situation. We're not a typical cannabis company, and we're not even a cannabis company. We're really, we're really a packaged goods company.
Fair enough. So you stayed out of the farming business. You have zero debt. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, we have, you know, our month-to-month payables, but we don't have any loans. You know, we just have raised our money through equity, or we've generated revenues, or we've done deals and acquired stock in pubcos. That's where our cash flow comes from. It doesn't come from debt.
Okay.
And hopefully it never will.
Okay.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast.
Just a quick note to tell you, sorry to interrupt your interview, but if you want more of these, you need to go to your podcast player, whatever that podcast player is, and go and subscribe to the Equity Guru podcast. You can do that through iTunes. You can do it through Google Play. You can do it through all the places. Equity Guru podcast. Do it now.
Welcome back.
We're going to jump around a bit here, but let's talk. You do have revenues, very significant revenues for a young company. I've promoted before other companies that I thought had just beautiful products. One that had a lactose-free milk made from a potato base. I went out and visited them. I visited their factory. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was smart. I saw it on I live very close to Whole Foods on West 4th. I saw it on the shelf there. I thought, these guys are off to the races. As far as I could tell, no one bought it. So from what I can tell with a new product, the two huge things are, first, can you get it on the shelf, which seems to be extremely difficult? And secondly, will people take it off the shelf and buy it? How have you managed to do these two things? I am genuinely curious.
You have to have a good quality product. That's the number one thing. Secondly, you have to have packaging that appeals to the right target market. And you know, you can get it wrong. Like, I feel like we did our first packaging launch, we didn't quite get it right. So we've actually gone back and redesigned everything. And lucky enough for us, we hadn't done our secondary packaging, which is the boxes. Yeah. So we were able to do a secondary packaging, like, after we were more educated about exactly who our target market was, you know, we were able to nail that a bit more stronger. And then also the regulatory side. So right away, you know, we started making inroads in Canada, but right away we had interest from other territories. We had interest from retailers in Quebec. So we actually signed a deal with a big retailer there. And they said, you know what, there's an extra bunch of rules you haven't complied with. You have extra French required. And then when we started looking into the U.S., the retailer said, we need it to be U.S. compliant. And then we had a lot of interest in Europe, and Europe, the European distributors said, you also, you know, you're going to have to comply here. So on top of having a great product and having a great, you know, great packaging that appeals to the right customer, you also have to meet all the regulatory requirements, which are insane, especially when you deal with more than one territory. And what I've noticed in topicals and a lot of independent products is they are offside with all the regulations. And we've even seen that with, you know, a lot of what was going on with the FDA and the CBD brands, even Charlotte's Web sort of getting their hands slapped. And so, there's a lot that has to go into it. And then you can still do all that and not get it right. On top of that, you have to have a very well thought out and executed marketing plan.
Yes.
And you're right. You do have to convince those retailers to put your stuff on the shelves. And we've really been at it pretty hard for a year now with Urban Juve. And we, you know, we've made some mistakes, but we've started to, you know, we see what works. So we've probably signed over 100 retailers, you know, exactly. I don't know how many we're in right now in Canada, but the good thing we're doing now is we're really focusing on, you know, really what drives the sales within those retailers. So that's kind of like marketing the next level that we're at.
Yeah.
And you know what? It does never come easily. Like, you have to work at it. You have to build relationships and you have to get new customers. And every time you acquire a new customer, you build your brand.
These 100 retailers, Penny, that you mentioned, are they one-offs, mini chains, any big chains? Are you conquering them one store at a time?
Yeah, we're really doing a combination. So we focused on the wellness channels in Canada to start with, just because for Urban Juve, it really is a wellness skincare brand, and it's all natural ingredients, and it contains hemp root oil and hemp seed oil. So it appeals to consumers that are going to pharmacies or going to wellness stores. So we've got some, you know, quite a few chains in the sort of 5 to 15 store range. We have a lot of conversations that are happening right now with the big major retailers in Canada. So, you know, that's a longer conversation. You know, sometimes it takes a year to close some of those deals. But I'm confident we'll be getting into them. Really, I think this year I'm excited about being able to announce some major, major retail chains that are recognizable. But in the meantime, you know, we're still perfecting our pitch, perfecting our products, coming out with new products.
Yeah.
Our website has been up and running for about 9 months. And we're actually able to sell products all around the world. And we do that. And we've got products for sale in Europe now. So for Urban Juve, you know, we also hired somebody who was at overseeing the e-commerce at Aritzia, which, you know, it's a $1 billion company. So she was very high up there in the marketing division.
Yeah.
And she's overseeing an e-commerce site for a company that does over $100 million in sales a year. And so she just joined us a few months ago, but she's now building out all of our e-commerce platform and our marketing tools so that we can really go to the next level with all of our brands. So that's very cool. With Right and Well, which is a topicals brand, which is full THC, it's a totally different ballgame because you're limited in how you market it. You're limited in where it's sold and that kind of thing. But, you know, it's the same principles that apply.
Yeah. I'm looking, Penny, at your quarterly revenues on a chart, and I see starting in Q2 218, $200,000, then $400,000, $600,000, up to Q3 219, $1.8 million. Where is that growth coming from, and what do your overall yearly financials look like?
Last year, our financials were $3 million. This year, they're at $3.8 in our first three quarters. And you have a combination of different revenue streams. I knew that when we launched our products, it was going to take at least a year to get significant revenues from actual product sales. And I was right. I mean, it takes a while to build a brand to get those sales in. But we had like really this gold mine of formulas that I thought we could license out to get revenues faster. So what we did was we did some pretty big licensing deals with other companies. For example, we licensed out our men's line of formulas to Antler Retail so that they could launch our products. And, you know, I think that generated over $1 million in revenue. And then, you know, what that means is, you know, either we took the cash, in this case, we took stock, but they're going public. And so, you know, eventually we'll be able to get cash flow from that, maybe even more cash flow than what we did the license for. And because of my background in taking companies public, we're comfortable taking stock in deals. So some of these licenses are stock deals, and we have stock in other companies right now, which is great because, you know, it's then you don't just have to go to the capital markets to raise money.
With this Antler deal, I want to make sure I understand it. Did you white label for them, or they are selling Urban Juve products?
It's essentially a white label deal where basically we give them a license to certain of our formulas. A pretty big group of them actually, and so that they can take those products and they can launch them as CBD or THC. I mean, they actually have a dispensary chain that they're building in California, so it worked well. It's like, here's additional revenues for you guys, and we didn't have time. We have 200 formulas. We don't have time to launch all of our products ourselves. So that was a great way for us to get revenues. And then we also have done, you know, services to other companies as well. And then also selling products. So, by next year, I'd say by 2020 is a year where really I would expect our product sales to be higher than our licensing sales. But in our first year, of course, our licensing sales are going to be higher than our product sales. So we already kind of talked in our MD&A, our last one that we filed, about some of the big orders that we had coming through in our fourth quarter. And so, you know, we talked about $250,000 in orders, which it doesn't sound like a lot for just one, but for just one brand that launched 8 months ago, that's a huge incline in terms of sales. And so, you know, when you start to look at the numbers, once you have a product that's formulated, you have the packaging done, you start to have consumers that use it every month, and you have those distribution channels, and you have the shelf space, then the numbers can grow very, very quickly, and you have a really decent profit margin in this business.
Penny, you've got seven important subsidiaries, and I would advise shareholders or potential shareholders to visit your website, download the deck, and drill into them. But today, I do want to ask you about Urban Juve.
Yeah, and I've been talking a lot about Urban Juve because that was the product line we launched first. And yeah. we came out with that first because it was sort of pre-legalization where we were getting everything tested. Nobody was really allowed to do anything. And we decided, okay, we're not going to put THC or CBD in this, but we can use our hemp root oil, which is still very rich in terpenes. We can use our great quality essential oils. And really put these products together and launch them. So we launched 12 products this year. We have another at least 10 products we'll launch next year, maybe more. We're just doing the market research to find out what consumers really want to see. But it's mostly skincare, but it's also personal use products. And we have all kinds of products developed. Like we've got a sunscreen that's SPF 30, which is significant when you think that it has no artificial ingredients. So it's an all-natural SPF 30 that we've done some consumer trials, some human trials, and actually were able to use that designation. We have pain balms. We have a full line of different types of massage oils, everything from, rose and beautiful smells. We've got a chia seed line we're developing. And then we've got the full men's line we've developed and licensed to Antler Retail. We have many therapeutic products. We have tons of beverages that we've done, some really, really good ones that taste really, really good with parts of the cannabis plant. And that's kind of unusual because it's hard to get a good taste.
Yeah.
But I would say with the quality of our products really outshines anything else I've seen in the marketplace. So that's kind of like the hub of Urban Juve as we started creating all these amazing formulas. We came to market with 12 products. It's really more skincare and personal care products.
Yeah.
We've used those same product formulations to add THC and CBD, which was always the intention.
Dear Equity Guru Investor, this is the end of part one of my interview with Penny White, CEO of Yield Growth. You may think this is the end of their story, but it isn't, not by a long shot. Tune in the next few days to part two, where we talk about the Urban Juve target market, body oils, South America, topical gels, aging athletes, alternative treatment for opioids, mushrooms, and the end game for Yield Growth.